think we actually changed the podcast. Everyone, welcome
easy.
Back. I don't know, I did that like it was a sort of breaking news. Welcome back to TVI Podcast. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Francis Dean.
And guest, returning guest, Jordan Gray. Welcome back, Jordan.
Thanks for having me back upon the podcast. Nice. You two look great.
Last time you came on, I think, if I remember correctly, was before Edinburgh 2022.
Yeah. It feels like a different life.
Yeah, it's because you were just building up to do your, like, you know, your show at the Fringe, and then obviously we haven't. I've seen you since a few times, but, like, you know, we haven't had you on a podcast since that show obviously went well.
It went very well, thanks. It was a living dream. I feel like before that all that kicked off, the two of you, very, very sweet boys, but you perhaps regarded me quite suspiciously as of some sort of little odd little clockwork weirdo. Like, when I came on, you're so lovely to me.
I would, like, say,
definitely.
We've met a couple of times before. But before actually gigging together,
I knew you were very talented. Like, I'd seen you in, we did Later Live, I don't even know if you remember, years ago.
Yeah.
But you know the
show that we did together where I first actually saw your stuff properly was, do you remember that outdoor festival we did in Leon C?
The Garden Gatherings.
I reckon that might have been late 2021, I reckon that would have been.
Yeah, and I remember run by absolutely,
yes, and it was just a great. It was great, and it was just such a. You had an absolute barnstormer, and then, but it's great. And obviously, since then, you've had multiple successes.
I like Ross; he's a good egg, isn't he? I saw you. We were at the comedian's party.
Oh, did you go, both of you?
Yeah.
I've never been before. I've never been to it either. I'm quite antisocial when it comes to comedian gatherings.
It was very
sweet. Decided to go half an hour before I got there. Like, I was just in my car, and Sean rang me and said he's going there, and I just drove there. But it was quite nice, wasn't it?
Had you been before, Jordan?
I sort of got there quite early, and I was sat in the corner. And when I saw Julian come down the stairs, I thought, I'm going to make my way over. It's quite busy, wasn't it, Julian? And then I got...
You hadn't even
got off the last step yet, and I said hello, and he was like, I think I might go home.
Classic.
That's very sweet that you saw me and then made a beeline.
Yeah, I injured some people, and it was aggressive to get to you.
Get the fuck out of my way.
How long did you last? Did you last right through?
I did about 45 minutes, an hour maybe. But I didn't leave that step. I stayed on that step. I didn't actually go in.
I found that's a great tactic.
I didn't even have a ticket.
You just wander in. We found a seat because I've had this really good year, like you've alluded to, and thank you for saying that. I don't really have any pressure to do anything or talk to anyone, so I can just sort of do what I want, which is really nice because I'm not very social either. So I just went and found a seat in the corner, and what happens is then people just do the rounds like you're some sort of dignitary. They just come to you and sit and then leave. Yeah. I didn't have to move all night, and I don't drink, so I didn't have to get up to the bar,
pay their respects, and then move on.
Yeah, like I died.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
People just crying over you.
But you just like to sleep. You were on the step. We just stayed there all night while people satellited around us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was nice, isn't it?
In somewhere like Edinburgh, I can go to a comedian, like the bars. But normally, because you go there with a couple of mates and you're just in a corner... And there happens to be other people around you might say hello to, but I don't love that feeling of, you know, but I've always been just too scared to go to that comedian's party. I feel like it's just too many comedians in one room gives me sort of anxiety.
Oh, man, it is odd. We are different species. That's the weird thing. You think if you've got a room full of plumbers together with all the love and respect in the world, you'd be like, I reckon I'd know what that looked like. Or even if I didn't, like, they'd all look the same, even if I wasn't sure. We're all different. We're like the Sesame Street cast. We're all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
the raggy dolls. Yeah, like everyone's different from different like walks of life, but everyone's got that common narcissism. Not really, but like,
no, you're right. We are sharp-eyed narcissists.
Yeah, the percentage of narcissists is definitely higher, I'd say, isn't it? In
I'd say it's higher than, you know, nurses. If I'm going to
I
bet. But it's that's that, and that's always been my slight reticence to go to social events that are very comedy heavy.
But I've never been either. Funny.
Have you ever had one of them like journeys to a gig where there's like four of you in a car? And every one of you just, like, there's not a single, like, visual link between the four of you.
Yeah.
Just imagine that whoever the guy serving at the petrol station when you all bowl out at 2 a.m. in, like, Minehead.
Just look
or
like
something.
An AA meeting on the road.
It's fucking mad. I've had some crazy ones in the past, like, just where, you know, you've got some weird sort of goth type. And then you'd have some sort of old, sort of
someone in a tweed suit,
chubby guy, and it's just like just no rhyme or reason to how the four of us are in a car. Not the four of us are hanging
and
out,
then a
the four
student.
Of us are in a car together at 2 a.m. Yeah, where the fuck could you possibly be going?
I like seeing those combinations as well, like at the party, the two comedians that walk up to each other, you're like, oh, it's like a crossover episode of something. These two people have got no reason to ever chat.
Yeah, yeah.
I was chatting with like...
He's
like,
making a cameo.
Yeah, in my life. Like, I've never met Nick Wilty before, but he happens to be friends with Ross. And he was just stood there and I went over and he looked at me again like I was an alien of some sort. And then Ross was like, this is my friend Jordan or whatever. And he was like... Oh, he'd had a few, and he was like, "Oh, saw you on that Channel 4 thing," and I just wanted to say that I think that is the future of comedy. I think that was wonderful. I got proper emotional, and then he got really emotional. It was really awkward. Like,
but he's a lovely
guy.
We're
like two different species. We're like different things from different eras across time. Weirdly. And it was just.
I think the voice I did when I got out of the car there, that little, I think it might have been Nick Wilty. I think that's the one I was channeling. And was there any, like, I mean, not naming names, was there anyone who got way too pissed visibly?
There was somebody talking to me that was really drunk. And you know when you're not drunk at all?
Yep.
And it, you know, when the vibe is just a little bit like, I'm like,
right up there as well, man.
Yeah, they're right in there, and they're not really listening to you.
It's like that photo from Alien 3 when the alien's up there.
I was a little bit like kind of a rabbit in a headlights, and you were very sweet, Jordan. You like, you looked across people and you like checked in on me. You went, "Are you all right?" I went,
and I got to make sure you're happy.
I must have looked just really worried or something.
Yeah.
Well, you stopped. In a thoroughfare. It was the stair.
That is
true.
You were
just on the stair.
On the staircase.
Yeah.
Because that's my problem is I do that thing because I'm not great in a big, loud, you know, sort of get-together. So I'd be one of them people that would just get munted. But then I just talk loudly. I'm always like, you know, well behaved and nice. But like, you know, you can't help but just talk so loud when you're drunk in a loud room.
Oh,
like,
it's
just gross. The next day, your throat's all fucked. You've just like,
just
been shouting about, fucking no, I don't even know why Steve Bennett bothers coming or some shit. You know what I mean? All that crap that would have been talked about.
What's
all
he
night.
Doing here? He fucking
that
destroyed
amazing,
my career.
Oh, man.
I came along
with
Graham Matthews off Mr. Britain's Got Talent fame. He got quite steamy.
I know Graham,
Yeah, he's a sweet guy. He got quite...
He does, like, kids' shows and stuff as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's great, man. He's really fun. I've seen him do Catch the Sausage. It is a game. It's not... It's like you put it on the end of a plank of wood, and you give the kid a frying pan. You like hit the plank, and then obviously it flies up. And you catch it, put it back on, catch it.
Oh, nice!
Watch it for hours.
Yeah, that's what it always reminds me of. Did you ever see Tim Vine do Pen Behind the Ear?
No,
it's one of the greatest. But it's one of the greatest spectacles at the right gig. It's like, I saw him do it at Latitude. And you know, in that tent, there's 3,000 people watching, and he did Pen Behind the Ear, And it is literally that. It's him with a Bic pen, and from about that distance there, throws it and has to land it behind his ear. And he has like music that plays. It goes pen behind the ear, pen behind the ear. And it builds. And the song's on this cycle of about a minute. It's a minute song cycle. And the longest, I saw him once take, I'm not joking when I say like 12 minutes to get it behind his ear. And it goes through so many waves of people getting annoyed that he's still doing it. Like every now and again, when he misses a bunch, and he'll get one that goes like, and it falls off, and the whole crowd's like,
That's it.
And it's one of these crazy bits of comedy that is just beyond anything you could ever write, essentially. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't it be incredible to find out that every comedian's got one physical bit like that that we've all got in the back pocket? Like, that's his pen thing. Graham's got the sausage thing. But we've all got one thing that we do in a pinch.
Yeah.
What would yours be?
I need to get something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mine's to just wank off.
Well, that's, I mean, 3,000 people at latitude, Julian, is it?
Am I going to come? Am I going to come? When's he going to come?
When's he going to come? When's he going to come?
The crab's shot. I'm just like, I can't get a boner properly because I'm all nervous. And it's in. I can't get a boner.
I don't even know why Bob is coming.
I think I'm on the short list of the award judges are in. When's he going to come? This is my big break. I've got TV in. Oh, Avalon, man. I've got TV people in.
Oh, excellent. Excellent business. But yeah, it'd be. There's not enough of that, I don't think. You know, sort of. Especially, I suppose you're different in that you're. I saw your show in Melbourne, and it was you know, it is a spectacle of a show. It's a real thing. But like, thanks, for a man. Sort of a more traditional sort of, just I'm talking into a mic saying some bits. It's hard to actually have a proper. You don't ever have a spectacle. What you're aiming for is that one great routine every, however many sort of. Every show or something, have one real big routine that people walk away going, fuck, that was a good routine. You know what I mean?
Is there maybe a sense when, if you ever wanted to inject or incorporate some spectacle, it is an odd gear change if that's not the show, if it isn't a spectacle from, so if it isn't someone running around from start to finish, when you want to do a bit, you have to like package it ironically. You'd be like, oh, and now, like, you'd, if you wanted to do something like that, that could be legitimately, like, turn the room upside down.
I think so, yeah, I think you have to, you've got to really, or you sort of slightly undersell it and you end up trying to almost apologise for it. I did a show once in Edinburgh about, it was about a bunch of stuff, but, like, sort of anxiety-related stuff. And I talked a bit about the suffering from gynecomastia. Which I suffered from teenage years, and like it's a hormone imbalance. Basically, it means I've sort of well, basically, it's when puberty kicked in, I had too much estrogen in my body, so I developed like it's essentially clinical man boobs.
We have the exact opposite problem. I was a boy. That's great. Oh man, well done.
But yeah, but I am. So basically, it means that you're sort of, I had like little pronounced like boobies, my nipples were really chubby. And obviously for a teenage boy, that is like, it's a catastrophe basically. Mm. So I found it really annoying. Like, and I basically, I didn't ignore it. I just hid it. I just would never go in a swimming pool. I'd sort of avoid any public nudity. Which I mean, it's normally
quite you should a, do a anyway, good really.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know,
don't embrace
not.
It.
But anyway,
you're,
I saw and then
deliberately avoiding like work sites and things in case you like, in case you get wolf whistled.
But I grew to live with it, and by adulthood it settled down a bit. I still actually have it, but it's just very, very specific circumstances where it's noticeable, like certain, like weirdly this time of year, I'm in Australia at the minute, and it's so hot that it definitely flares up when it's hot. It's almost like the blood vessels are more full or
something. That's the most annoying time as well, because that's like when you're wearing less. Yeah.
I can't with my fucking fat nipples flapping
around.
Just
go naked on the beach just to take people's attention off of it.
Distraction. Use it
and
as
onto
a
your little willy. It's like that's what they'll laugh at, you know what I mean?
But
it's
anyway,
like a defense
I did a show
against like big spiders or something.
But the point I was making was I did a show about things, and I talked about some different childhood issues, and I talked about having this thing throughout my whole teens and how I sort of it caused a lot of things. It took a while for me to work out in adulthood, like the damage it had done. But in the show, I talked about how I still have it, but I've learned to live with it, and now it doesn't really cause me much bother at all. And the end of the show, I literally, out of the blue, just basically go, there's only one way to end the show. And I rip my top off, right? And I show the audience my nipples. And quite a fun little set piece. They vomit.
And rob you.
Scream and run out of doors. But I did it. And it was one of them things where it was the only time I've ever done a sort of like, oh, that's just not a bit of stand-up. I shit myself every night. I never ever got used to doing it. It was really that, like, there wasn't some sense of like.
I think that's good to do that though. Somebody,
my demons.
Who did that quote? I think I forget where it was, but it says, "Make it personal enough that you're ashamed to say it."
Well,
you know what I mean?
That was me.
It's good. Yeah.
Oh, but the best one. Happened when I was previewing the show. I did some previews of it in New Zealand, and. I one night did the show and ripped my top off. Absolute silence. No response at all. Like, it was real just shock in the room. And then turned out I'd forgotten to do the routine about my nipples.
I'd done
50 minutes of stuff about different anxieties, and then looked like I just
peppermint
had a psychotic
shower
episode.
Gel, and then
so I just ripped
that's
my top off
bit,
for no reason. Like,
shower gel.
Oh, that's it's a fun bit. Anyway,
like,
so there we go.
Well, I built my show in a black box in Edinburgh. It's the only time I ever performed it was the first time I was in Edinburgh, and it was perfectly good distance between me and the audience. So I come out nude at the end of the show out of this phone box. Spoiler.
Yeah.
And when I did it at the Glee Club in Birmingham, I was in the small room, and there's just no. I mean, I was going to say I'm as close to I am to you right now, but that'd be. Like, I mean, laptop wise, not geographically. I mean, it was like,
you
just walk out and there's no room for fanfare. I'm just stood there I'm stood up and there's people at what is essentially eye level with an area. And I just had to make it funny by just being like, I know this is far too intimate. This is almost an assault.
Were completely naked, just standing there completely naked. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say my career.
That's a closer.
That's my ghost.
Have you always been really comfortable naked?
No, because of being transgender and that, I got boobs and I was like, oh, I'm done now, complete. Now I'm comfortable. But beforehand, I'd have had the exact opposite experience of our lovely Carl, in the sense that I would have had people looking at my chest like, oh, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
the life.
So post the boobs, like you, it made you more obviously more confident.
Yeah, I wanted to do it at Late in Live. Like, that was the first time I ever thought about doing it. Was at Late in Live, and I was like, I've heard horror stories about Late in Live. You just got to do something to like get their attention. By the way, it's lovely now. I don't think we missed that crazy heyday when it was a
totally
bear pit.
Different.
It's
yeah,
just
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was gonna do it. I was all prepared, and then Rich Wilson, I'd never met him before, and I just saw him. Like, I heard a massive laugh, and he walked off stage, and he was nude. And I was like, what? He doesn't do that. He's just really drunk, and he just done it. So then when I come on. Luckily, I had the piano as well. So my only escalation of the night was I was nude, but I was also having a little twinkle at the same time on the piano.
Yeah.
But it was just easy. You just do it and you're like, oh, this is, why are we all not doing this all the time?
Probably because our natural state, isn't it?
It would become really quickly. It would just become really hack.
I'm quite self-conscious with stuff like that, though, like exposing my body and that, you know what I mean? Even my top off or something. Like,
I mean, you have put pictures of your self topless on Instagram, mate.
I've seen the videos. As long as I am in control and I get the angle right, you know what I mean? But
you want full, like, edit. I get it. I agree. I mean, I'm very self conscious, but like, you know, sort of, it's weird.
But you've got videos of you doing the ice bath and that, haven't you? You're not like self conscious now, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I suppose I'm actually, I've aged quite, I'm mentally aged very well and sort of like.
When you
I'm
get older, you're slowly not caring. It's why old men in changing rooms put their socks on first, their shirt on. They've just got their willy hanging out. They start a conversation with you with their dick out. It's like, no.
But it's something, it's a liberation, isn't it? It's just, I don't care. My ball, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just saggy.
It's almost like a fuck fine. You.
Yeah, like a unifier. It levels the playing field, especially with an audience. They're like, well, that person has at least gone through the mental gymnastics of not being afraid of this situation. They're probably not afraid of much. I'm going to listen to them because I'm confident that I'll have a laugh delivered. Because otherwise, why would they be up
there? Yeah, they're
not that scared. They're also not scared to make me laugh in interesting ways.
Yes.
That's such a good point. It makes you untouchable in a way, doesn't it? A heckler's not going to go, like, try and insult you.
Well, it's normally...
You're completely naked anyway. Like, what are they going to do? Like, you're bulletproof in a way.
Well, sometimes they'll think they can do your jokes. Oh, go on.
So, sorry, I've got a little bit of a delay, but I'm timing it. I'm trying to time it in between what you're saying. I think it's working. Off the back of doing that thing on Channel 4, what I've done, there was a paper that came out. There's always papers coming out. Someone said, like, oh, this is disgusting, or whatever, this guy doing this thing, people. But then it was like, him and his little micro dick need to get off, like, TV. And I was like, I'm a transgender woman. That's what I'm going for. Why would you think that the size, if anything, is way too big? It shouldn't be there at all. But people don't have that idea. So you're right. It's like trying to insult that situation. It's like, I've done all the work for you. There's nowhere left to go. It's really funny.
Yes, you've taken away all the ammo, basically, I suppose.
Yeah.
anyway, but it was a great show anyway. So you totally finished with that show now? Is it now or just it's totally to bed?
No, man, we're going to tape it and then I'm doing it in New York in the winter and hopefully also means LA and San Francisco. We're going to do the American leg. Ooh, yeah, lovely. Man, I've got nothing to complain about. Life is so good. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
Is it available? So it's not available at the moment for people to see anywhere, but it will be.
It will be. I never even filmed a single segment of it. I sort of what weirdly happened at Edinburgh was the advertising was just people saying, "Gotta go see the show," but I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end, and then that makes you have to go see it.
Yeah.
No one's ever seen. There's never been a clip of it anywhere. So it's just that poster what I had. Really, quite a good poster. I'll put it. That little poster I had.
Great
poster.
Plus, just word of mouth. That's actually not the original.
That's the best way, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
quite a rarity still. Like, you know, people, it was almost like a blast from the past of like the Fringe used to have that where every year there'd be a show or maybe sometimes more than one, but very rarely more than a couple. But, you know, shows that didn't come in with loads of PR heat, whatever. And then they rode that way. Like, but every year there used to be. I remember from my first years of growing up, like first time I ever went
like
to it
John
was
2004. John Kearns did it, didn't he, one year?
Yeah, those sorts of
things. The Mighty Boosh years ago.
That no one would have, even it wouldn't have been on the radar for you fucking, this is the one you need to go see. And then within a week, everyone's like, I think you need to go see this. And then by the end, it's become a behemoth of the Fringe. And it's sort of like, there's been quite a few years where that hasn't happened in the last 10-15 years. It's sort of gone a little bit damp, you know. It happened with Gadsby, you know, like there's certain shows have managed to do it still, and so I don't think there'd been one for a while until your show really just tore it up, which was very it was nice. It was good. It was sort of almost old school, the Fringe doing what it's there for, I think.
It's
meant to be a place where things happen.
There was people using it because I agree it hadn't happened for a while. Then the next year they needed someone to like launch the book of flyers and stuff, and they needed to be able to say, look, what can happen if you come to the Fringe. So they used that as an example. So it had another leg of life. Like the year after, it's lovely.
Are you going to do Edinburgh again this year?
No, I'm going to. I've got a television show to film this year, which is exciting. So I'm going to I'm going to start doing a work in progress in the winter of this year at Soho Theatre. Ooh. Probably go back to Melbourne, Carl, and hopefully get looked after by your lovely wife again.
Yeah.
And
well, we still there. Was it this? It was. Year. I get because I'm here It's Jack, because I'd never been here twice in a year. I always get confused with my dates. Was it last year's festival you were here? Or was it the year before? Yeah. It was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to see bats. We went to see actual live bats. That was fun.
Have you ever seen a bat in real life? Like a big one? It was amazing.
Flickering around, but not properly, no.
There's a place in Melbourne where they all move from one basically park to another at night. As the sun goes
eerie.
Down, and there is, I'm talking, there is thousands upon thousands just flying above you. And we went to watch it. And they just wouldn't move for ages. Remember, we kept walking and they just wouldn't leave. They're all just there.
We wanted to wake them up, which is not good or healthy. It's like quite a sort of loutish thing to do. But like when your little Nyla was like making noises, and we wanted to discourage her from doing it. But at a certain point, I was like, no, don't stop her from making noise. Just let her be loud.
Yeah, yeah. Because they responded, so they were all like quiet, and you'd think they were asleep, and then you'd be like, burp, and a bat was like, it was almost like they were telling you to shut up because they were trying to sleep. Yeah. But then suddenly, they started waking up, and one would fly off, and then within about 20 minutes, they were just everywhere. It's proper like Batman when they're all flying around, but they were just like, we were just below the tree
right
line.
Near you, yeah. Like,
no, because we were below the tree line, but they were just above the trees where we were, and they were like just so many of them, so loud.
They're such weird things, bats, aren't they? They're not birds, are they?
No, they're mammals.
At all.
Was that a bit?
Like, that is not a bit.
That's my show. My whole show is literally called Is It a Bird? Because it's all about Batman. Yeah. That's why. That's another thing. That's not why. I thought you were doing a bit. Because it's what Julian's got. You've got a very, what's the word? Very stoic look about you when you
low
do
IQ.
Bits. And I can't tell. I just can't tell if you're. When it's a bit or when it's not, it's always great.
Thing where he's dumb as a brick.
I think I am a bit.
Anyway, let's get on with
that's a good
bits.
Title. Is it a bird? That's a great title.
Yeah, it's a great title. Let's do questions. We've got questions. Some specific, some quite vague, fun ones. Let's just pick random questions. I've not vetted these. This one's from Ed. And he says, oh, it's actually a two-part question. Oh, one's a reference to last episode. But A, what would your... Oh, this is in reference to the fact that Gladiators has returned on television,
nice.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an absolute smash hit. Like, loads of people watched it and it was good. But what would your Gladiator name be? Which is quite a good one, but it's quite a one to be put on the spot. It's probably quite tricky, but...
I think I've started...
Your camera's gone, Carl.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I've started wearing berets because I wore a beret on last leg and someone said it looked nice and I went out and bought six. So I think I'd
it does look nice. I was gonna say that. It really suits you.
And I believe you this time. This time I think that's a real compliment.
it always is
my gladiator name.
Beret. I've once purchased a beret, and I can confirm that only works if you've got long hair. So having short hair, when you put it on top, you don't have anything to balance out the shape of it. So it does make your head just look like a mushroom. So I bought it and never actually wore it out because I was too embarrassed and self-conscious. But what would I be? I'd probably be like some vegan name, like tofu or something. Some stupid.
That's pretty good.
You just get beat really easily. Tofu.
Fall apart if anyone touches me.
You just collapse. I'm really tired.
Yeah, I've got no physical integrity whatsoever. But I think something like that.
I'd be like white chocolate or something.
Gross.
Do you remember Shadow?
I do, yeah. He was a bouncer when he in real life.
He was a bouncer on a club I was at. I was out on my nut.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
And I was out my head at that club and his piercing eyes just looking at me. I was like, you look like Shadow.
Gladiators had been for a while.
He got fired, I think, for something, yeah.
Because I feel like the original Gladiators, the names were quite racially specific. Yeah. You know what I mean? They'd feel like Nighthawk and Shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
Black yeah. Man.
It was very, yeah.
Blonde
really
woman
sort of,
with big tits.
They didn't shy away.
I was trying
from
to think of any, if there are any gender-specific ones, because you'd think so, but I'm racking my brain. I can only remember Jet as a name. So on that side of things.
Yeah.
Jet was the one that I think every
I had a crush on Jet.
Heterosexual young chap fancied.
Hunter.
He was this is absolutely true. Hunter, the gladiator, was in the audience of the first ever stand-up gig I did. And this is Matt, and do you know who he was with? He was with Jason Orange from Take That. It was one of the strangest things. I remember
what
going on to 2005, I'm going to say.
He went out with Eureka Johnson for a while, didn't he, yeah. Hunter?
It was an Amused Moose. Heat for their Amused Moose competition. We had to do 3 minutes.
That was the first ever gig you did, a competition. Yeah.
And he was just at the back, and I chatted to them afterwards, and it was really weird. And apparently they were very good mates. But there we go. What an odd two celebs to have at your first ever stand-up gig. All right, let's do another question. This is quite a weird one. Favourite food combinations? This is from Josh. And the second part of this question is quite a sort of weird one. But let's do favourite food combinations.
Have you ever been to one of those world food places where you can have like a bit of everything? Have you gone to one of those?
The buffets where you can just get loads of different things.
So, I'm vegetarian now, but there was a time when I weren't, and it'd be like a tikka masala in a big Yorkshire pudding.
Oh wow.
That was the dream.
Yes.
That sounds good, man.
I'm quite a stickler for the stickler's the wrong word. I'm a fan of the classic sort of Elvis peanut butter jam type affair. There's peanut butter and jelly. What's the burger place in Nottingham? The famous one,
McDonald's.
Annie's. There's a place called Annie's Burger Shack or something. It's like the best burger joint you ever go to. They've got the full menu of burgers. Every single one of them, they can make a vegan version. Just if you just ask, like they're really good.
They just don't put the burger in it.
Do what? Have I ever told you about the time that happened to me? I was in Cork, and this was years ago. I'd just gone vegan, so I'm talking over a decade ago, around then maybe. The west of Ireland, south of Ireland, that wasn't very vegan friendly. And I went into a little cafe in Cork, and it said vegan sausage roll. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, it can't be an option. I'd not seen it as an option like anywhere else in Ireland, not even in like bigger cities. And I said, can I get that? And they went, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, the woman came out, and it was an empty baguette. This is absolutely true. Empty baguette. And I laughed. And she went, and then the manager saw me laughing at the food and came over and said, what's happened here? And I went, I ordered the vegan sausage roll. And it's funny that I didn't realize it was a joke and it's just an empty roll. And I thought they played a prank on me. It turns out they did actually have Linda McCartney sausages in the freezer, but there was a different chef on that day and he didn't know they sold it. So when I ordered it, he genuinely thought that was what he had to make me, just an empty baguette.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. We had that's just very quickly. I used to live in a pub, and I remember we had this new bartender on, and these guys came over and asked for two Red Bulls, like of cans of the energy drink, and he didn't know what it was, and he went and got them two Red Bulls for the snooker table, thinking that they'd run out of the red because we had spares in the back, and he just gave them two Red Bulls on the table because they were playing pool.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah. Man!
Because that looks like you're taking the piss, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. But the reason I brought up Annie's is it's in Nottingham. They do a vegan peanut butter and jam burger that is one of the best burgers I've ever had. But that flavor, yeah, I'm a big peanut butter and jam fan.
Peanut butter and a good burger mixture.
Yeah, peanut butter jam. It's like they call it the Elvis burger. It's fucking madness.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what my favourite food is, to be honest.
You're not really a foodie. You don't really care about food, do you?
Not really. I try and eat for fuel, you know what I mean?
But
I try and eat the right things. But I can binge on sugar. When I binge, I hit it hard, man. But yeah, I don't really know. Peanut butter and jelly, I'm just going to copy Carl.
Little kid. Yeah.
It's quite sweet. I mean, perhaps it's just a coincidence, but when I know people that sort of come in pairs, as it were, people that have like podcasts together, like two, there is a fuel for food person and a foodie. And maybe you sort of bring that out in each other, because it's like, you know, when like siblings want to distinguish themselves, like you want to say the opposite of like your sibling. So you're like I thought I was all about the fuel. And then I met someone that was, and then now I'm like, I have to like food to be different from them.
But weird, a lot of my mates are fuel types. Weirdly, like Benny Boot, flatmate, and that, like, he always said if he could just take one pill a day that had every nutrient and just didn't feel hungry, he'd take that without in a heartbeat. He said he used to really find the rigmarole of eating annoying, and like whereas I love cooking, I love, like, I think it's most of my days spent just cooking. That's not, you know, I do all the cooking around the house, and I find it really relaxing. I can't enjoy it at all.
It's like I don't know, I'd sooner just get meal prep company three a day, bang it in the microwave.
I like the act of seeing it from ingredients through to being in my
belly. Healthier if you're cooking it and stuff.
All right, let's do the second part of this question, which is totally unrelated to food. Right, it's you versus 2008 Beijing Usain Bolt, 100 meters, 100K on the line. But for every 10 meters head start you give yourself, you lose 10K. Where are you starting from? Basically, at what point do you think you can beat Usain Bolt?
I reckon I could beat him in the last 25%. If he started 75% before me.
What do you reckon you could run 100 metres in?
An hour and a half.
When I was 10 years old, I could do it in... I'm going to say a number because I think this is the number. Don't immediately laugh because I don't have any frame of reference.
10 as well.
As long as it's not a world record.
This could be a bold lie. Is it possible when I was 10 I did it in 14 seconds, or is that insane?
I mean, it's fast.
I mean, that's a good time.
That is very fast for a 10-year-old. So maybe that's too much. It's not in the realms of impossible, but like...
But you'd have heard about it in a book. All right, probably wasn't
a
that.
10-year-old. Right. Were you quite athletic, Jordan?
Were you quite fast and stuff? Yeah.
I set the record in my school for long jump and high jump. And I did all right at the 100 meters, but the fact that that sounds unrealistic to you means it probably wasn't that one.
it's just fast, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll take the ten grand. I'm just gonna walk the last 10 meters.
You'd still have to run.
I bet though, if it was Usain Bolt.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. 9.8 seconds.
I mean, he's pretty fast.
The record. I'm gonna back myself and go 30 meters, and I reckon just run like fuck. I reckon I'll have him.
He'd overtake you, man.
Mate, 30 seconds. I think even now I reckon I could do. I don't know. I reckon I'm quite fast, but I reckon I could run 30 meters in. What? 6 seconds, I'm going to guess.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's not a build-up start. That's from a dead start at 30 meters. You've not built up that speed, so you haven't got the...
I'm literally pulling these numbers out of my ass. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm quite fast, to be honest. Like, I beat the 10-year-old fastest girl in Kent. I beat her.
All right, okay.
But that's because you use food for fuel,
Julian. That's the mistake you're making. You're fueling. Yeah.
We should do that. I'm back in London. We should do a TVI sports day, and we should have.
I came second in the children's parents race, but the guy that won it was a brother. He was like 18
or something.
18. This was again last year, though. It's happened twice now. And I beat. Just to clarify, and there was,
when you said brother, it was the child's brother.
Yeah.
You said that was sort of just really casual. Yeah, it was just a black guy. Just, it was a brother, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I beat a brother.
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you. Love you.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're. 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 I think you